our cups overflow, when we open our hearts and lives to his good word, his full, glorious, and saving word. Let's return this morning to 1 Samuel, where David, in a moment of weakness and despair, decides he's got to get out of Israel. Even the Lord's been taking such good care of him, he's got to get out and take refuge in Gath, one of the cities of the Philistines. And so let's read 1 Samuel 27, first four verses. That's where that story starts. 28, first couple of verses, and then 29 is our text. Page 295. Page 295, 1 Samuel 27, 1 through 4. Then David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand." So David arose and went over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maoch, the king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. And when it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him. And then remember how David asked Achish, "Can you give us a city to live in so we're not bothering you?" And they gave him the city of Ziklag. 28. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." "So you're one of mine," says Achish. "You're a Philistine now. You're going to fight with us against Israel." David's stuck in a trap. 1 Samuel 29, that's our text. Now the Philistines had gathered all their forces at Aphek, and the Israelites were encamped by the spring that is in Jezreel. As the lords of the Philistines were passing on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were passing on in the rear with Achish, the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me now for days and years? And since he deserted to me, I have found no fault in him to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Send the man back, that he may return to the place to which you have assigned him. He shall not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become an adversary to us. For how could this fellow reconcile himself to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this David of whom they sang to one another in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Achish called David and said to him, "As the Lord lives, you have been honest. And to me it seems right that you should march out and in with me in the campaign. For I have found nothing wrong in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's don't approve of you. So go back now and go peaceably, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." And David said to Achish, But what have I done? What have you found in your servant from this day, from the day I entered your service until now, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered David and said, "I know that you are as blameless in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Now then, rise early in the morning with the servants of your lord who came with you, and start early in the morning and depart as soon as you have light." So they set out, David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. But the Philistines went up to Jezreel. This is God's word. May he bless us and build our faith with it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, in this passage, God rescues David from himself. Again, remember in chapter 25 when foolish Nabal insults David and David gets so angry that he resolves he's going to kill Nabal and his household right then and there. And God rescued David from himself at that moment, interfering by sending a wise woman, Abigail, to bring him a peace offering and to stop him in his tracks. Praise the Lord for his goodness. When he stops us in our tracks, when we're so ready to sin. But now he does it again. God rescues David from himself again. Now David's caught in the trap of his own lies. How's he going to get out of it this time? David is supposed to be headed for the throne of God's holy nation, Jesus' throne. That's his throne. And he's getting in the way. He keeps getting in the way of Jesus and of the throne. It's not just Saul getting in his way and traitors like Doeg and the Ziphites who ratted on him. It's not just the Philistines getting in the way. David's getting in the way of himself going to the throne, serving the kingdom. How true isn't that of the lives of God's people? Oh, there's so many other things getting in the way of your journey of God's kingdom. But how often don't we get in our own way? Don't we get in the way? And God's got to keep sparing us and rescuing us from ourselves. And so God does it again here. This chapter is a reason to worship God, who rescues us from ourselves again and again and again. If God wasn't merciful, we'd never make it. The kingdom would just implode. It would self-destruct. But he is merciful for the sake of Christ. He is a people. He is a kingdom. He'll not let it be destroyed by his own servants, let alone by the evil one and his enemies. So that's what we see this morning. God rescues David from himself again when he's caught in lies, first of all. Secondly, he's kept by God. He's caught in lies. That's what we see first. He needs to be rescued because he's caught in the web, the trap of his own lies. So how's he caught? Well, look at verse 1. There's a huge battle looming. Now the Philistines had gathered all their forces at Aphek. Ding, ding, warning sign. Where were the Philistines gathered at Aphek earlier? Chapter 4, when they destroyed Israel, killed Hophni and Phinehas, took the ark. We'll see that in the next couple chapters. This is not a good sign, but that's where they are. The Philistines have gathered all their forces at Aphek. And the Israelites were encamped by the spring that is in Jezreel. There's five major Philistine cities: Ashdod, Gath, Ekron, Gaza, and Ashkelon. They all have their armies. And the lords, the five lords of the cities, have gathered their armies together in a giant coalition, and they're going to destroy Israel for good. They're going to get them for good. This is a huge battle. And where's David? Where's David? Look at verse 2. Here's the scary part. And the lords of the Philistines were passing on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were passing on in the rear of Achish. What? Here are the five lords in a military parade, driving through the armies, the coalition, seeing if everything is well. And they get to the armies from Gath, and there's great King Achish leading the army. And there are a bunch of Hebrews in the midst, David and his 600 men. What are they doing here? So where's David? Where's David? He's on the enemy's side. That's the trap he's put himself in. He's on the enemy's side. He's caught. He's stuck. And now he's too far in. There's no way for him to get out of it unless God does something abnormal. You see, it started, first of all, this trap that he set for himself with a wrong choice that we read in chapter 27. Saul's continually hunting him. God's been continually protecting him with amazing interventions. And all of a sudden, David, in a moment of weakness, despairs. And he says, I got to get out of here. I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul. No, you won't. God has promised you to the throne. I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul. And he goes and he crosses into enemy territory. His wrong choice. It's easy when we're feeling vulnerable to make unwise choices. Then the second step of this trap, he's got to cover his wrong choice with lies. He's got to pretend to Achish that he's a good man and he's on his Achish's side so he can have a safe home. Can you give me a place to live? I'll give you Ziklag. And while he's there, he goes with his men and he goes to Canaanite outposts in southern Judah and he wipes them out. Men, women, and children, so nobody can report to Achish what he's doing. And when he goes to report to Achish, what are you doing? I'm destroying Israelite towns. I'm killing my own people. Oh, you must really be on my side, says Achish, you and your men. I have a great ally in David and his men. He's against Israel. And so lie after lie after... That's the ways lies work. You tell one lie. Now you got to tell another one to cover up that one. And now you got to tell this lie to cover up the next one. And you go deeper and deeper and deeper into it until that's the third part of the trap. You're living under a total facade. He makes a wrong choice. He covers it with all kinds of lies. And now he's under this facade where Achish thinks he's this great supporter. He's deserted to me. He's my great ally. I'll make him my bodyguard for life, he says. Achish says in chapter 28. This false identity. You're my faithful servant. And when Achish's soldiers, when Philistine soldiers say, hey, what are these Hebrews doing here? Achish defends David three times. He's innocent. I find no fault in this man. He's good. Three times, he protests, he defends David's innocence. If you're caught in a trap of lies, that's what happens, right? Pretty soon, your reputation gets built up on a cover-up, and it's a total fake reputation. It's a fake reputation. And the you people see is not the real you. That's what lies do. That's what cover-ups do. And that puts you in a spot where you either got to keep going or you let the lid come off and you go down. That leads to the fourth part, his false choice, and then his lies to cover it up, and then the false identity, the facade, and now he's in a trap. Now he's forced in a spot where he has to fight on the Philistine side against the people of God when he's anointed the shepherd of Israel. How are you going to get out of this, David? But he's in too far. If he blows the lid, he's surrounded, they'll kill him. If he fights with them, he's fighting against the Lord. He's destroying the pathway of the Messiah. He becomes like Saul, Antichrist, because it's a servant of Christ that he is. He represents the Lord Jesus. He is stuck in his own trap, caught in his own lies. And how often we as God's people, when we slip off the pathway of faith and begin to turn away to find our own way, you get into a spot where there's no way out unless God intervenes. So he's stuck in a spot where God's call to him to be the next king is in danger. Think of Israel's spot. There's Saul dining with a witch, making a deal with the devil. There's David lining up with the enemy. And where's Israel? Stuck in the middle without a shepherd. That's why these two accounts of David aligning with the Philistines and Saul dining with a witch are put together. God's saying, what happens? What are you doing to the kingdom when you go the wrong way? It's not just yourself you're hurting. You're putting God's people in danger. Think of that in your own life. The choices you make might seem right for you. But are they really pleasing to the Lord, and are they really building up God's people? And are they really seeking Christ? They're really looking to him and say, I want to exalt Christ. Yeah, we're in a very bad spot here in 1 Samuel 29. It's a good reminder, brothers and sisters, how fragile life is, how easily we can make a wreck of ourselves and those around us. But for the grace of God, we get in the way. Whether we're spinning a web of lies for ourselves and making a mess of our lives right now, or whether we're clicking the mouse from one bad website to another one, to another one, to another one, to another one, whether we're getting stuck with the wrong crowd and making one compromise and then the next compromise and then the next compromise, where are you going? Where's your life at? Turn to the Lord before you get stuck this far. David didn't need to get stuck at all, and he certainly didn't need to get stuck this far, but he just kept going and going, and you get so far you can't get out. Don't let yourself get that far. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Seek him while he's near still. He'll be gracious to you. Get out now before you do more damage to yourself and those around you and bring more bad testimony to Christ. God's calling us here. To call upon his name to get out of the traps that we're walking into. But sadly, we don't read of David doing that here. David's not calling on the name of the Lord, is he? Proverbs 29, verse 25. Listen, Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is safe. When we fear people, we're setting up a trap, a snare for ourselves. Think of how Abram lied about Sarah because he was afraid, and he set a trap for the Holy Family. Then how Isaac lied about Rebekah because he was afraid, didn't trust the Lord, and set a trap for the Holy Family. Endangered the household of God and the future of the kingdom. The fear of man sets a trap for us. And we get in so deep and so far, who's going to get us out? Who's going to get us out? The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is safe. And that's where we go secondly. We meet the trustworthy Lord. David is caught in a trap of lies. But God, in his unspeakable mercy, kept him, preserved him. The mercies of God are overflowing in 1 Samuel 29. Even though, listen, even though, like chapter 27, God's name is not found. Well, yes, it is found twice. On the lips of Achish, king of Gath. Oh, my servant is to me like an angel of God. But in terms of David's mouth and his men, the name of God is not found. But God is here, and he rescues David from his own trap, and his great kindness gives him escape, gives him an exit strategy. I know it doesn't actually say that God delivered him out of this trap. Actually, it was the Philistine enemies that delivered him. Get the Hebrews out of here. Wow. They don't belong here. But David's whole pathway to the throne, congregation, is covered by God. This is God's pathway to the throne, and only God's will get him there. This is God's deliverance of David. And so it starts with this military parade, this work of God in this chapter through enemies. Starts with this military parade with Achish showing off David and his men. And the commanders say, get this David out of here. And Achish says, verse 3, is this not David? How can you say this of him? And the men say right back, yeah, is this not David? Verse 5. The guy who killed our Goliath? The one whose song tops the charts in Israel? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his tens of thousands? And now that he's at loggerheads with his master Saul, how about a few Philistine heads to reconcile himself? This is not good to have David and his men with us. Get him out of here. David's not safe. Send him back to Ziklag, to his own city that you've given him. And so Achish has to tell David, you know, I'm not in favor of this. I'm fine with you, but the other commanders won't have you. The lords don't approve of you, verse 7. So sorry to tell you, you have to go home. And David, who says, David, shh, this is your chance to get out. David protests his innocence. What have I ever done to hurt you? David, the Lord is giving you a door of escape. But see, now David has to protest it because if he looks bad, he's in a dangerous spot. So he's got to prove this is not so, that what the commanders are saying about him is not true. He's so stuck. But Achish sticks to his guns and tells him, no, yet you're blameless in my sight as an angel of God. But you need to leave. Please leave peaceably. And then we read in verse 10, now then, rise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who came with you, and start early in the morning and depart as soon as you have light. So David and his men left. Now that last verse is full of God's rescue work. For the rest of the sermon, I want to show four mercies of God in this verse and in this chapter. Look at the last verse of 1 Samuel 29. So David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. But the Philistines went up to Jezreel. First mercy. The departure of David took place in the morning light. As soon as you have light, depart, verse 10. So David set out with his men early in the morning. Remember, Saul departed from the dining with the devil, dining with the witch, and it was night. He went out into the darkness. And David gets to go out in the morning light. And these two verses are pretty close against each other. What a contrast. Because David, you see, belongs to the day. Not to the night. What a mercy that God should allow David to see light and to send him out into that light. Are you the property of Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus? Do you trust in him? If you put your faith in him, then you've been brought out of darkness into light. And you're children of the light. So then what are you doing walking in darkness is the issue. Stop walking in the darkness and walk in Jesus' light and trust God's mercy to bring you there even when you haven't been walking worthy of it. Go out in the morning light. David's not worthy of this. But because he belongs to Jesus, even though he's stumbling, God mercifully pulls him out of there. Let me read Romans 13, 12 and 13. Romans 13, 12 and 13. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Let's walk in the light. That's where we belong. Second mercy. Separation. Look again at verse 11. So David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, but the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Separation between David and the Philistines. Isn't that good news? They had made an alliance. They were buds, best buds. And God has pulled them apart by his grace. Right at a moment where they're united, now they're divided. So that as people of the light, they're not walking in the darkness. Wow. What a mercy of God. It reminds me of God saying to the serpent, when Adam and Eve and the serpent became best buds in the garden, he says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. See, God does it. You know, we're drawn together. God pulls us apart. We live in the midst of darkness, yes, as God's children. But we must not make an alliance with the darkness. And live with them as if they are our own people. Sometimes, you know, the world calls it and sees it and calls it before we do. Hey, what are these Hebrews doing here? Well, they'll say of somebody who calls himself a Christian, what are you doing at this party? What are you doing in this club? Why are you behaving like that? Why are you talking like that? Isn't he religious? Sometimes they see it before we do. Shame on us. The Philistines see it. What are these Hebrews doing here? And they see it right. They don't belong. They're not one of us. What a mercy of God to make that happen when we get caught on the other side, caught in a life of sin, addiction, and the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things that drag down, anchor the soul. That's the second mercy, God's work of separation. The third mercy, God's presence. He's there. He's there. How could he be there? But he is, and he's at work. He's protecting and preserving David and his men, and his goodness and mercy are pursuing him all the days of his life and pulling him out of the traps and troubles that he's made for himself. He's there. And we could ask, well, why does God give David a way of escape? Even when David's not asking for one at this moment, But he's not giving Saul a way of escape. Why not? Well, we could say on the one level, because David is a man after God's own heart. And even though he's backsliding right now, he's still a believer. And he belongs to Christ. And no one who belongs to Christ can fail or fall away forever. You see that here. This is comfort for us. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. And when you have returned, strengthen your brothers. But Saul's not a believer. He has refused God over and over. He's rejected the Lord. But at a deeper level, God in his sovereign grace has given David faith and made him a man after God's own heart. And he hasn't given Saul that. That's God's prerogative to do. But what a mercy when God takes hold of you, makes you his own. And when you believe in him, you may get stuck in some pretty bad spots. But then we need that comfort. The Lord will keep me. Take me back, Lord. Pull me out of this. I'm yours. You've promised. Well, here are a couple of promises. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, or 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. I'm not ashamed, says Paul, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced he's able to guard until that day what he's entrusted to me. He's entrusted to me the gospel, salvation. He'll guard it. And John 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. It's a great mercy of God. Even when we're very foolish, we're still no match for our God. He has thousands of unguessable ways in which he rescues his people. And that's the fourth mercy, the last mercy we see. God's surprising way of working, using the enemy to rescue David from the enemy. Using the Philistines who said, get him out of here, send him back home, to get David out of his trap. This impresses me so much, that our God has thousands of tricks in his bag, or thousands of inscrutable ways in which he may be pleased to work, and any one of them is good. And nothing can stop the Lord from delivering us from our failures, picking us up and making us walk again with him. The message to us is, call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and turn to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He is good. He'll rescue you. And why did he rescue David? Because of Jesus. Three times Achish said of David, I find no fault in you. It was false. There was all kinds of fault in David. But think later, three times Pontius Pilate said of Jesus, I find no fault in you. And that was real. Jesus has no fault in him. And if you want somebody to cover all your faults and failures, don't go to David. David points you away from himself to Jesus, who is without fault and without failure. And all his obedience covers your imperfection in the sight of God. David was filled with fault, and God rescued him. Jesus was faultless, but God did not rescue Jesus. He perished. Why? To pay for our failures and faults. So that we can seek the Lord and find cover, find rescue, and find renewal, be pulled out and brought back, all because of Jesus. Thank God. We have a king who's greater than David. With him, your life is forever safe. Go to him, rest in him, give your life to him. He will not fail you. even when you fail. He will not fail you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we call upon your name because you are very good and because we need you in all our sins and weaknesses. In our failures, Lord, we look to you as the one who never fails and sent his Son to stand in our place and live for us a life of no failures at all. Lord Jesus, we thank you for covering us with your perfect life and with your perfect death for our sins. And so we come to you now and ask that you will continue to shepherd us, guard us, guide us, and keep us the whole way. And when we're falling away, pull us back and keep us in your good way, all the way to glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.